It was that silent night when the stars turned their gaze to marvel at the earth. When the heavens gathered breathless round a lowly stable. When a young mother wept tears of worship, falling on the baby in her arms. And the song of the earth arose in Bethlehem, soft as the tender beating of his heart. And all was calm, all was bright. Yet could this be the same God of Abraham, the conqueror of Israel? This baby, this fragile life. Is this child the one who burned his name in rapture across the gasping skies? Whose voice spoke the oceans into crashing rhythms? Who crafted the mountains into guardians of the firmament? Whose hand ignited the thirst of the deserts and the warring surge of the elemental hosts? Who breathed life from dust, broke the oppressor's rule, scattered the chains of his people like sand, and led them through the wilderness with a pillar of flame? Is this child the one whose presence billowed thunderous on Sinai's peak? Who surrounded Job with the roaring wind, stood defiant in the raging furnace, wrote judgment against tyrants, and blazed on the lips of the prophets, scorching history's pages with the fury of his might? Could this be the same God who chose to come as the vulnerable king, setting his throne on straw and manger, drawing forth the tears of shepherds, receiving the gifts of wandering travelers, his fame unknown in this world? He is Jesus, the one who thunders through the heavens, yet whispers to our hearts, who reigns victorious, yet bows to serve the broken. He is God in the fury, God in the silence. He holds this mystery balanced in his hands, holds our questions till they lose their need, until all we see is him.
Good to see you this morning. Powerful video about who Jesus is. Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning, and turn to John chapter 1. We're going to look at some very wonderful words from the Word of God. Stand as we read God's Word together. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord, thank you so much for your word, this amazing, glorious word. And we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts today. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Before I go on, I just want to pause for just a moment. Push pause for a moment, okay? And I want to welcome some people. Should have done this earlier, but we have the Fioks with us. Dave and Hilda Fiok are visiting from England with MAF International. Good to see them. We have Roger and Domrice Kellogg from Guatemala visiting us too, right there. Thank you. So good to have these friends here with us today. It seems normal and natural that they're here, but praise the Lord. You know, this story that we read in the scripture and that we celebrate at Christmas time is so familiar. Would you let it be new to you today? Just listen to it like maybe it's the first time you've heard it. Because it is so amazing. God is so amazing, what he's done for us. Jesus is the eternal word. When John writes his gospel, when he talks about the word, he's talking about Jesus. So why did he use that? Why did he use the word? Well, the word to the Jewish people had special significance. When they talked about the word, they talked about the creative word of God. They talked about the word of God given through the prophets, the word of God given through the law. It really meant a lot when they used the word. And to the Greeks who also read this Gospel of John, the word meant the great mind of God, the reason behind everything that holds everything together. And so when John writes this gospel, he wants them to know that the word, the creative word of God, the mind and the reason that holds everything together has come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the eternal word, not a message, but a person, the person of Jesus. We sang earlier the song, What Child Is This? And John helps us kind of understand that. What child is this that was born in Bethlehem that we celebrate? And John helped us understand the amazing fact of who this child was. Jesus has always existed with God the Father. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We celebrate the birth of Christ at Christmas time, but we need to make sure we understand he has always existed. Christ has always existed. He is eternal. He's always existed with God the Father. God has revealed himself to us as triune in nature. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has always existed in this Trinity of God as God the Son with the Father. He prayed when he prayed with his disciples in John 17. He said, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So he existed in the glory of heaven with the Heavenly Father. And of course, we know that he left that glory to come down and become one of us. If Jesus wouldn't have come to earth, he still would have existed. But we wouldn't have had a Savior. So he came to earth. Jesus has always existed as God the Son. When Jesus came to earth, he became a man. God the Son became one of us, but he's always existed as God the Son. When he was born in Bethlehem, this was the birth of no ordinary baby. Yeah, he was a normal baby in every way, but it was God coming to earth. And that's why it's no ordinary baby. We also find out about whose child this is, or what child this is, that Jesus is God the Creator. Isn't that amazing to think about? As John says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. You'll never find anything in all of creation that wasn't made by Jesus Christ. He is the Creator, the agent of creation. Another scripture in Colossians says the same thing. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus is the Creator. So think about it for a moment. The Creator comes into his creation. The Creator becomes part of his creation. He humbled himself and became part of the creation that he created. But we always have to remember that that baby lying in the manger is the Creator of all. And that makes it so amazing. We also see that Jesus is a source of life. John says, in him was life. In him was life. Jesus is the source of all physical life. As our creator, and the scripture says, not only is he the creator, he holds everything together. We're dependent upon him for every second we live, every breath, your next heartbeat, your next breath that you breathe in to live. You're dependent upon Jesus forever, all of that. He's the one that keeps you alive. He is. We're all dependent on Jesus for life. He's given us life. He keeps us alive till that time when we go and leave this earth and be with him. We're alive because of Jesus. He's the giver of life. He's also the source of all spiritual life. He gives physical life to all people who are born on this earth, but spiritual life is given to those that believe in him. You see, he is life. When he came to this earth, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Life is found in Jesus. He is eternal life, and he shares that life with us. He's life, and he shares that life. The only place you can get eternal life is from Jesus. He shares it with us when we trust in him. He gives us his life. We also see that Jesus is the light of the world. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, light entered into the darkness. Now, God didn't create the world to be a dark place. God created the world to be a place of light, fellowship with God. But sin entered the world, and with sin came darkness. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was the light of the world invading the darkness. And the good news is the light of Jesus defeats the darkness every time, all the time. When you look at that beautiful scene that we see on Christmas cards and, you know, on TV shows and whatever of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, it's such a peaceful, wonderful scene. But it's really an act of war. It's light invading the darkness. John saw it. His followers saw this light come into this world. And everywhere Jesus went, the light was conquering the darkness. You know, when Jesus did miracles, light was conquering the darkness. When demons were cast out, light was conquering the darkness. When he preached the truth, light was conquering the darkness. Every person that came to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, light was conquering the darkness. And so the world became more and more full of light. And it's still happening today, by the way. Still happening today. Still tens of thousands of people are coming to know Jesus every day. The darkness is still being defeated by the light of Jesus. I was thinking about Jesus being the light and defeating the darkness. You know, light travels at 186,000 miles a second. You knew that, right? From school, right? You remember that fact. Light from our sun takes about 8 minutes to reach us from our sun. When the light from the sun reaches the earth, two things will happen. It's either absorbed or it's reflected. If it's absorbed, it produces energy, usually in the form of heat. And I was thinking about Jesus being the light of the world. He travels much faster than 186,000 miles a second. He's faster than light, okay? And when he comes to us, either he's absorbed or reflected. You know, if we receive him as our Savior, he comes into our lives, and you could say we absorb him in the sense that he comes and lives in us. And that light produces energy, eternal life. We are given eternal life because Jesus is in us. If we reject him, it's reflected in the sense that it's not received, not absorbed, because we reject him. And I was also thinking about this analogy. If we receive this light of Jesus into us, his life into us, Jesus in us, then we, because that energy is released in us, the life of God in us, we become reflectors of him to our world. Not in the sense of that we rejected him, but we reflect him to our world because he lives in us. That's why Jesus told his disciples, you are the light of the world. He told his disciples that, you're the light of the world, because they're reflecting the light of Jesus to the world. The light of Jesus defeats the darkness. The light of Jesus brings us truth. The darkness is defeated by the light of Jesus because the devil is a liar and his lies are exposed by the truth of the light of Jesus. You ever been out digging in your garden or out in the yard, you know, and all of a sudden you see these little crawly insects, you know, that they just run as fast as they can to get out of the light. They don't want to be exposed. They live in the darkness. And as soon as you give them the light, they just run as fast as they can to get in the darkness and hide again. That's the way it is with the devil. When he's confronted with the truth of God, he runs and hides because he can't stand the truth because he's a liar. That's why the Bible says to us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And we resist him by the truth of God. The light of Jesus brings us truth, the truth. Jesus, when he came, said, for this reason I was born, that I came into the world to testify to the truth. He brings us truth. The light of Jesus came into our world. Into our world. We live in a world, a natural world, that was created by God. We are not supernatural. We are created natural people. We, in this natural world, we take up space and time. We occupy a little bit of space, and we live in this within the restraints of time. We're confined by this world in which we live in. It's a beautiful place, but there's limitations of living here on this earth. So imagine with me the supernatural world where God lives. No limitations of time and space. And we were created to know God, but there's no way we can leave this natural world and go to that supernatural world to know him. We're confined to this world. We can't do it. And so you know the story. God in his great love came into our world. He left the supernatural world and became one of us. He entered our world to save us so that we could know him. We couldn't go to him, so he came to us. There's a story of a little girl. She was having a hard time going to sleep one night, and she called out to her dad, and her dad came in and tried to reassure her and told her she didn't need to be afraid and said, well, one of the things you can do, honey, is just hug your teddy bear, you know. You get your teddy bear right here, hug your teddy bear. And she replied, she says, Dad, I need someone with skin on. I need someone with skin on. Jesus is God with skin on. He became one of us to be with us, so that we could know him. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This light of Jesus must be received by faith. Jesus said, John says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Last summer, the world was drawn to a story of a boys' soccer team in Thailand who became trapped in a cave because of rising water. You all heard that story. They were out on an outing, and they decided to go hiking and going into this cave, and they went almost 2 miles deep into this cave and got trapped because the water rose and trapped them in this cave. The water rose so much that in those 2 miles, about 1 mile of the cave now is underwater. No way they can get out. They're trapped. Rescuers begin to look for them. And they finally found them on July 2nd. And on July 8th, they began the rescue operation. And all the boys were rescued and taken out by experienced divers. You know the story. One diver actually died in the process. But those boys, I was thinking about those boys, how wonderful it was to be rescued. But you know what those boys had to do? They had to trust their rescuers. They actually had to be strapped to their rescuers and go down into that water and dive through those narrow caves. They had to trust their rescuers. Their only hope of being rescued is if they trust their rescuers. If they didn't trust their rescuers, they'd still be in the cave and lost. And I was thinking about Jesus coming to us. We have to trust him. He is our rescuer. We have to trust him. Put our lives in his hands, just like the boys put their lives in the hands of the divers. John writes here that he came to the world and the world that he made didn't recognize him. There are so many people, even in Jesus' day, that would not be rescued. They didn't trust in Jesus as their Savior. You know, we're excited that, you know, statistics tell us that about roughly maybe around a third of our world are followers of Jesus. That's really cool. But you know what that tells us? Two-thirds are not. Two-thirds are not. Two-thirds of people will not allow Jesus to rescue them. And we are rescued by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus became a man so that we might become sons and daughters of God. Jesus joined our family so we could join his. He rescued us. Jesus is God becoming human. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. The Message translation says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I like that. God became a man. Jesus fully entered into our humanity. You ever held a newborn baby and just checked them out, you know? It's normal. You look at a newborn baby and you see the eyes and the ears and the mouth and hair, maybe, sometimes hair, and, you know, all the different parts of the body. And you just, it's a miracle, you know, to see this baby. When Jesus was born, his parents did that. They held him and they checked him out. And guess what? He checked out. He was a baby, a real baby boy. He fully entered into our humanity. The great Christian father, Augustine, said these words. He said, the maker of man became a man, that he, the ruler of the stars, might be nourished at the breast, that he, the bread, might be hungry, that he, the fountain, might thirst, that he, the light, might sleep, that he, the way, might be wearied by the journey, that he, the truth, might be accused by false witnesses, that he, the judge of the living and the dead, might be brought to trial by a mortal judge, that he, justice, might be condemned by the unjust, and that he, discipline, might be scourged by whips, that he, the foundation, might be suspended upon a cross, that courage might be weakened, that security might be wounded, that life might die. He fully entered into our humanity. C.S. Lewis says the central miracle asserted by Christians is the incarnation. They say that God became a man. Every other miracle prepares for this, exhibits this, or results from this. It is the main miracle that God became one of us. He did this in order to be our Savior, to save us. Hebrews 2 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So you see, through Jesus becoming one of us, through his death on the cross with a real human body that felt pain and suffering, the devil was defeated. The devil was defeated through that. The power of death that the devil had was ripped from his hands and life was given to people. When Jesus was on the cross, he died as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Because he only could be that sacrifice, the perfect, sinless Son of God. If anybody else would have volunteered to be a sacrifice, they might have become a martyr that we would look up to, but they would not be our Savior. Had to be Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man. Jesus came to reveal the glory of God. John says he came full of glory. John was an eyewitness, remember? John was an eyewitness. He lived with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He heard Jesus. He touched Jesus. He ate with Jesus. John had followed Jesus around. He had seen blind people see and lame people walk and dead people raised back to life. He'd seen demons cast out. He'd seen Jesus walking on water. He'd seen multitudes fed. I mean, he'd seen all kinds of miracles. He said, we have seen his glory. He came full of glory. Yet the greatest demonstration of the glory of God is who God is, his character. The scripture says the sun, referring to Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Since the glory of God is an expression of who he is, The clearest picture of the glory of God is not the blinding light that we see oftentimes showing up in the scriptures. It's not that pillar of fire leading the people through the wilderness. It's not when the smoke fills the temple. It's not when the lightning is striking the top of Mount Sinai. It's not even the picture in Revelation with the God on the throne and all the millions of angels surrounding God, worshiping him. The clearest picture of the glory of God is this one right here. Of God becoming one of us. And you know why it is? It is because it reveals the heart of God. That God loved us so much that he would become one of us to save us. That reveals the heart of God, the glory of God. Jesus came from the Father. John wants to make sure we understand that he came from the Father. When God created this world, he knew what was going to happen. He decided before the creation of the world the plan. Jesus was destined to be our Savior before the creation of the world. But yet he was sent from the Father. You know the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He was sent from God the Father to be our Savior. Jesus is God is the greatest giver who has given us the greatest gift, the gift of Jesus. Jesus came full of saving grace. John writes he came full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace. Grace is treating us better than we deserve. Grace is reaching out to us in our lostness, in our chaos, in our problems, our challenges. Grace meets us right where we are. In 1994, there was two Christian missionaries who heard about an invitation from the Russian Department of Education to teach morals and ethics to a large orphanage, and they volunteered to go. They found an orphanage that had about 100 boys and girls who had been abandoned, abused, and left in a government-run orphanage. Since it was about Christmas time, they decided they would tell the kids the Christmas story. And the kids listened with rapt attention because they'd never heard the Christmas story before. And then they had a little craft plan for the kids. They gave each one of the kids three little pieces of cardboard that they can make a manger together in. Then they gave each of the kids a little strip of a yellow napkin that they could cut up in little pieces so they could make straw to put in the manger. They were given then a little piece of flannel cut out from a worn-out nightgown to be used for the baby's blanket, and a doll-like baby was cut out of tan felt. They were going to recreate this little scene. And everything was going well until one of the missionaries sat down and talked to a young boy named Misha. Misha was finished with his story and his craft, but when the missionary looked, there was not one baby in the manger, but two. So she asked him, well, what's the story here, Misha? What's the story? So Misha began to tell the Christmas story just like he'd heard it, up to a point, and then he created his own ending. He said, when Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked if I had a place to stay. And I told him I had no mama or papa. I didn't have a place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to bring like everybody else. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I could give him, and I thought maybe I could keep him warm. That'd be a good gift. And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that'll be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me and told me I could stay with him for always. And Misha began to cry. Laid his head on a table and began to sob. The little orphan had finally found someone who would accept him and stay with him forever. And when I thought about that story, we are that orphan. All of us want to be accepted and loved and to have someone who will be with us forever. And Jesus came full of saving grace so that we can be with him forever and know him. The scripture says, it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. This isn't a gift, this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Christmas is about the grace of God freely given to us, full of grace. No one is outside of this wonderful grace of God. It reaches out to everyone, but we must receive it by faith. I was thinking about this whole story, the Word becoming flesh and made his dwelling among us, that Jesus became a man and was born in Bethlehem. And I began to think, you know, Bethlehem really wasn't his destination. Yeah, he was born in Bethlehem, but it wasn't his destination. You remember the story after Jesus was born? Herod wanted to kill all the young babies because he'd heard about the prophecy, and an angel warned Joseph, get out of there, and Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Egypt. They escaped, and so Jesus lived for several years when he was little in Egypt, but that wasn't his destination. After Herod died, the angel told Joseph it was safe to move back, and so they moved back to Joseph's hometown of Nazareth. That's where Jesus grew up. And he learned carpentry trade from Joseph, and he lived there till he began his ministry. But Nazareth wasn't his destination. After Jesus began his ministry, he set up his hometown in Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. And he went out and did ministry from there. But Capernaum wasn't his destination. After that, after his ministry, you know the story. He went to Jerusalem, was falsely accused and falsely charged, and sentenced to die, even though he had done nothing wrong. And Jesus willingly went to the cross and was killed for nothing he had done, dying for us, the sacrifice, our sacrifice for our sins. But the cross wasn't his destination. He didn't stay on the cross. They took his body down. They put it in a borrowed tomb. And for 3 days, Jesus' body laid in that tomb. And then he was raised back to life on the third day, but that the tomb wasn't his destination. You know the story. The disciples then, the resurrected Christ spent time with the disciples, encouraging them and teaching them. And then after that time, he was ascended up to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And from there, he sent his Holy Spirit to live in his followers, who are the destination. Hopefully you caught that. The destination is you. Jesus came to live in you. You are the destination. He's why he came. He passed through all those places, but his purpose was to get to you. I think that's amazing news. Praise the Lord. He really is God with us. We're going to sing a song together in worship as we close our service this morning. Let's worship the Lord, praise him and thank him. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. If there's anything that you need to pray about on this Christmas Sunday, the altar's open, you can come and pray. Thank the Lord, praise the Lord, bring your petitions before the Lord, whatever you need to do. Let's worship our Lord. Stand together.